Praise the Lord. Well, we'll just stay in Romans 10 for a moment. Couple things. First of all, people don't realize they're fighting for there, Carter, that you're talking about. It's the Antichrist spirit. They don't even realize they're operating under the Antichrist spirit. And one of the things that's going to come up under that Antichrist spirit is what's going to be the mantra before the Antichrist comes. Peace, peace. So they don't even realize it. So they're alienated from God. See, that's the part they don't realize. They actually think they are at peace with God. Why? Because they think they're doing good. It's others who are not that are the problem. See, and that was the same over here with Israel. See, in Romans 10, when Paul talks about, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. All right. If you want to translate that into today, Paul would say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the churches out here is that they might be saved. Isn't that something I've talked about here of late? Because who was it? Israel were the ones who were against the gospel, right? Chief opponents to the gospel. Why? Because they thought he was going to come in there and justify them. Instead, he manifested that they were sinners in need of a savior, just like had been promised to their fathers who were sinners. Think of it. Let's just look at it. You ever thought about, just take the 12 patriarchs, as they call them. You know, Reuben, Levi, you know, all of those guys, you know, the sons of Israel. Those guys weren't wrapped too tight, man. They most definitely were not wrapped too tight. I mean, they sell their brother into slavery. They go tell this other one, this guy who had basically raped their sister, but then they had made an agreement with he and his father that if their people would all be circumcised, that she could, they could have her to wife. And then while they were hurting, they went and killed them all. I mean, and Jacob's all up, they had to flee, and Jacob's saying, what have you done? And that's why they had to be separated. I mean, children sometimes have to be separated, don't they? God has done that a lot with his children, hasn't he? Because that's why Simeon and Levi are separated, is because of what they did back there. All right, they were not wrapped too tight. Were they saved because they had the law and they were righteous? No. In fact, they didn't have the law and they weren't righteous. But it was an offense, just like it's an offense to the church. And Bob, what he was talking about here today, and look, what is going on right now with us as a fellowship is this. There's been a day of reckoning occurring with each of us in our own individual lives. Why? Because there's been a promise that's been there for a long time for us to go forward as one in Christ. Amen? And the problem hasn't been with Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Is there any problem with him? Nope. The problem has been with us. And so the Lord's been drawing out what some of those things are. And when he draws out what some of those things are, frankly, our first reaction is, that's not me, Lord. You got it wrong. You know, we read these scriptures, we read these things, and this fellowship in particular has been blessed with a rightly divided word for decades. And that has set this fellowship apart in that sense. But we haven't clave or joined or followed that. If you continue down here in Romans 10, just a moment from where Carter was, he says here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. How is it that they didn't obey the gospel? Watch. It answers it in the very scripture. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? What did it say? Believe God and it would be accounted unto you for righteousness. What is it that the Israelites did not do with the gospel? They did not believe it, which was disobedience. Right? Isn't that what it was? It was disobedience. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's that whole thing about out here preaching the gospel. There's not a Baptist gospel, a Catholic gospel, a Presbyterian gospel. There's one gospel. And see, God backs up his gospel by his power with his faith. And every promise of God is contained in his gospel. See, the reason why it's been out here and it's not been right, and people's lives haven't changed, the nation, even though, look, I mean, even though the nation as a people in the United States here, there aren't nearly as many people who attend church as once did. That is a truth. All right? That is a truth. But that's not why the nation's in the state it is in. It's not because there's fewer people attending church. The reason why fewer people are attending church is because the gospel isn't being preached in church. I know I went 28 years without ever hearing the gospel. And I've been in a bunch of churches since then. And it's rare to find the gospel. You'll have people talk about Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and all of this stuff. But do you hear people believe when it says over here where you read where it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Wait, where is it? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The power that raised Jesus up from the dead is absent in almost every gospel message I've ever heard. It's never present. It's the power that raised Jesus up from the dead that is given unto the church to transform our lives. It's the power of the gospel that means that we don't have to go about establishing our righteousness. We don't have to be good to do good. Because he is good and he will do it in and through each and every one of us. Each and every one of us if we will but believe. That's it. See, and one thing I just want to put a little correction here. Little bit of correction. Carter was talking about a lot about going forth into the world, right? And he was talking about, you know, is that a burning heart's desire and everything? How about is it a burning heart's desire to complete Corey's cabin in a perfect manner? Is it a burning desire to empty people's Blackwater tanks in a manner that's going to be a blessing to them and to everybody in the camp because you haven't spilled it and made a mess everywhere? Do you take those tasks and have a burning heart's desire to do those in Christ Jesus? Because if you don't, you're never going to be one who's going to go out here preaching the gospel, I can tell you. He says if you can't be faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the great things. But he that is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things. And this idea of going forth, shoot, he didn't have to send them into the world. You know why? Where did they dwell? In the world. Where do we dwell? In the world. We don't have to be sent anywhere. See, the idea of being sent, and this is a big issue for folks, and I want people to think about this. When you look at the ideas, yes, when I'm sent. Yes, if I go down to, you know, New Orleans carrying a cross to minister. Or yes, when I go out with the revival tent. Or yes, when I do, you know, get up on Sunday morning to preach. Then yes, I'm now going to do it. Well, my God, do you realize how much of every moment of your life you have just given away and not brought under submission to the Lord? I mean, hello? We dwell in the world. We don't have to be sent anywhere to do it. We get to do it every day, all day long. And if we can't do it in the little things and do those things faithfully, then I can tell you he's not going to entrust unto you the true riches. And I know he wants to entrust unto you the true riches. I know he wants to entrust each and every one of you who are part of this fellowship. I was talking with Bob and Cheryl the other day, and Cheryl the day before too. And one of the things I was talking with them about is over in John 17, where Jesus is giving account, and he says, "I have kept those that you gave me in thy word, and none of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And basically what the Lord has shown me, and this is, you know, where I have been operating, even though all over the place where I go and in everything, it seems like I'm having to bring up some hard things with folks. Every place and everywhere I've gone with a mission. I'm not going to lose a one, Lord. I am not going to lose a one. And I'm going to keep them in thy word. What has been the focus of every discussion with every individual and every difficult thing that's come up? It has always been about the word. The word is what keeps you. The word is Jesus the Christ. He keeps you. And me, as I go forward out here, it's really about simply provoking you into that spot. Bringing up the things that have kept you separated. Let's watch through. Let's read through here a little farther in Israel, in Romans chapter 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I wanted to get to that verse. I thought that was one you were going to get to, Carter, when you said you were going to get to the end. I looked at it. I looked up ahead. I said, hey, you didn't get there. You stopped short of that, so I'll get there. Thank you. You left me something. But to Israel saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I want to read two other scriptures here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to read. Let's see, is that it? Nope, that's not it. I don't think that's it either. There it is. So I'm going to move. Ta-da, I found it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We actually did a revival down in Springfield, Vermont, 10 years ago. I don't know, it was a long time ago now. I can't remember. In which we focused on this scripture relating to ourselves. Well, the truth of the matter is we hadn't really gotten it fully. And so the Lord has been bringing things up to bring us to the place where we fulfill that scripture. What was it that he said? And this is what he's talking about over in Romans 10, the same thing. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, again, has nothing to do with anybody other than Christians, shall humble themselves and pray. So humble themselves. As Bob said, he was up there whining and crying for a few hours. And then when he prayed, the answer came quickly. Right? See, the place where humility finally set in was when he prayed. All the other stuff was not about humility. It was the whining and crying about Bob. Just how we are. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See, God, the Lord said it's in my word, right? Isn't that what the Lord said, Bob, what he was testifying? And so then what did he do? He sought in that word where the answer was and turned from their wicked ways. That was the several hours of complaint and all the other things that went on before, right? That's what you have to do. You have to turn from your wicked ways. Biggest wicked way, unbelief. Biggest wicked way. What did they say? They did not obey the gospel. Why? Because they did not believe the report. Why is it our fellowship hasn't gone forth yet? And we are close now, folks. So don't get me wrong. I mean, I can taste it. But the reason why for all these years we haven't is what? We did not believe the report. Right? Isn't that what it basically comes down to? Did not believe the report. And it says, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I began this morning when we were saying that first song I talked about how now, truth of the matter is, keep that word right in front of your face. The God, Jesus is a God of the now, always. You're going to leave this place. We might, everybody, be focused on the Lord at this moment in this service. And then I'm going to watch as people step outside. And what happens? People go back to their own ways. They relax. They go back to doing their own thing and the like. And then all of a sudden something happens. Somebody says something. Something hits you upside the head and you're provoked. And you're like, oh, crap. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be doing this. I was all caught up in myself. I went ministering to my brother or my sister or whatever here. And you have the realization, and then you have the condemnation of, I'm such a jerk, and why am I this way? And, oh no. Forget all of that nonsense. Forget it. It is completely unprofitable. Yes, are you going to do what I just said? Yeah. But when you realize it, now is the time to come. Now. Okay, Lord, I apologize. Focus on what it is before you, and the Lord will be with you by His grace. He will be. He's always right there. You don't have to go do 16,000 things to correct everything to begin right now. Ever. You don't. You just have to choose them. And as you do, sure, there may be things that he might work out in your life. Yeah, you know who's doing that? Him. You know why? Because you aren't capable of it. So he does it. So you yield. You yield to him. And you believe him. And you go forward. So yes, the Lord has been bringing us as a fellowship to a place where we recognize these things. All day long, he has had his hand stretched forth unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying people are people who answer again. They have another idea every time you say something. Okay, now let me ask you folks, does that describe you? Be honest. I already know the answer. Disobedient and gainsaying, right? Every instruction, there's another way. It's disobedient and gainsaying people. Guilty, right? But what did it say? All day long, in this sense it's Jesus, but he's had his stretched forth his hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What I want you to know is that, see, judgment begins first with the house of God. And it begins first with us, because we have a mission to the body, the church as well, that is outside this fellowship. And we have to love them. We have to have the same kind of attitude that Paul had. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Was any of Israel saved through Paul's ministry? Yes. Yes. Were many not? Yes. But our heart's desire has to be for them. Has to be. We have to have compassion, having passed through the very same things that we're ministering unto them that they need to pass through. That's why we have to pass through it. We have to. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's beautiful for us. The Lord is working a mighty, extraordinary, beautiful work. We are becoming living sacrifices, right? We're giving up these things. And becoming living sacrifices unto Christ, that we may make manifest that which is the perfect will of God. And we're going to be ministering unto people who believe they're just fine and they don't realize they're not. And we're going to have to love them like Christ loved them, reaching out that hand. And we have to go to those who have been alienated because they've seen us or them and not wanted any part. And go, I get it. I understand. I take no offense. Yeah, what are they going to say? Church is full of hypocrites. See? Yeah. But is it hypocrisy to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Is that hypocrisy? See, it's only, the only reason why churches are hypocrites is because they think that they're righteous. And everybody can see, yeah, right. divorce rate as high in the church as outside of the church. Homosexuality running rampant in the church like it is outside the church. Every wrong thing happening in the church as well as outside the church, right? What's the difference? The power of God is not present. But that's changing. It's changing right here with us. And as we go forward with all that we'll receive, it will change for them too. Amen? All right. May the Lord bless you, folks. We're going to sing a few more songs. Managed to finish on time. It's a miracle. It's the power of God. Father, we thank you very much. We thank you for this day, and we pray, Lord, we thank you for your tender mercies and grace. And I ask, Lord, right now that you forgive us, a disobedient and gainsaying people, and have mercy upon us and just wash away that reproach. Just take it away. Take the sin away. Take the reproach away, Lord, as we now turn to you. And may rather all of that time and all of those things rather be redeemed by you to be a blessing to others, and may it glorify you and your abundant grace and mercy, that we may be transformed into those ministers of your gospel that you have called us to be and that the world so dearly needs. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.